And welcome to Fraud Busting Neofrauds podcast. It is the only podcast for female fraud professionals and their allies who want to stay on top of the fraud awareness spectrum in order to thrive professionally while maximizing their happiness and having the courage to create the life they love. Thank you for listening.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Neofrauds podcast. Today, we have a special guest. This is Mindy, and in a minute, she will be sharing with us her unique story and all the important insights that she prepared for us today. But without further ado, let me provide Mindy the floor. Hi, Mindy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. I'm very excited, and we're just going to see what pops up today.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be able to talk to you today and asking you the questions to tell us more about your important story. Could you please kind of say a few words before we start to the audience about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. This topic always gets me a little bit because it's such a broad question, you know, asking someone to share a little bit about themselves because there's so many different aspects of us. But I think the key things that people tend to hone in on are, number one, a fact that people kind of like to know is that I am a solo parent. I have three kids that I'm raising entirely by myself. Actually, my oldest daughter, she's an adult now. Shocking, shocking. But I was a young mother. And so she's now 25. And I also have an almost 16-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. So a solo parent that became a solo parent overnight back in 2016. That's a big part of my story because even during my marriage, I went through a very, very, very deep, dark depression. I was struggling with a lot of different things, my own identity, the dynamics of the relationship itself being very toxic, which I know is a hot topic for a lot of people. But, you know, when you're someone who's navigating those things, there can be a lot of shame that's associated with, you know, different aspects of the relationship. You can feel very isolated and very alone, especially if it's a dynamic where there's a lot of toxicity. And I know there's terms that are thrown around a lot with narcissism and gaslighting and things like that. But I had become someone who very much lost my self-identity, even though I'm a very intelligent person. I'm a very strong person. You'd be shocked at situations that you can find yourself in that you would have never in a million years dreamed that you would be in. So I'm someone who, in many respects, I feel like I'm just a human. I'm just me. I'm like anybody else. And at the same time, you know, I've been through trauma and drama like most humans that walk this planet, but I am someone who is very passionate about being vulnerable and being very transparent about the sharing of my story, because there's a quote that really impacted me that I heard one time that says, sharing your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. And I think that a lot of times when we keep the things to ourselves that we might be embarrassed about or ashamed of, or, you know, that parts of our stories and our lives that we attach as failures, you know, mistakes that we've made or things that have happened that we might be embarrassed about. It's what I found for myself personally is that it is those things that actually create human connection. And I think we live in a world where human connection is so craved. People are really craving to feel seen and to feel heard and to feel valued. And when we are isolating ourselves or aspects of ourselves and presenting forward almost like this painted, you know, Stepford Wives type persona that is very, you know, the highlight reels of our lives, it can effectively create more isolation because perfectionism just isn't relatable. We all are messy in our own way. So I really just kind of developed a strong passion for being able to share my story, even though that can be scary, because when you put things out there that you might not necessarily feel proud about, or, you know, that could potentially be misconstrued, or, you know, I've definitely been subject of a lot of criticism, a lot of condemnation, a lot of, you know, losing friends, losing, you know, people in my life. that has been something that's happened. So I have lived my worst fears about many things. And now I stand as someone who went from being that extremely depressed, feeling very hopeless, very helpless, you know, the victim, all of those things, to being someone today who has really redefined how I see myself, how I see my past, how I'm able to navigate the things that I go through presently, and also the impact that I'm able to create in the sharing of my story and my journey. And I'm just very, very, it really is my soul's purpose to be able to share all of that with the intention of providing hope and inspiration and encouragement and support to other women who have either been through stuff or are going through stuff, and they could just use that breath of oxygen to know that someone else out there understands them. Even if I haven't walked your path, the exact same steps, and nobody has, I am someone that can relate to almost anything because of the things that I've been through. And I just really feel like that's something that's very needed in our world right now. And that's why I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mindy, for this kind of brief description of your story, but also your intentions, you know, for sharing your story. It really much aligns with my preference for guests. And I guess that's why I was impressed with your topics you're usually speaking about, and decided to invite you to my podcast, which I'm really happy about. That's exactly what you just described. My intentions are also featuring guests with real stories from real life, simply to remind ourselves and the listeners that life isn't about, you know, all the pretty things and all the high level perfection, but life is real, and anyone could be in different situations where it's difficult to deal with, especially when there is no previous experience or you haven't even heard anyone going through something similar. And so interviews such as this one with you can be extremely helpful to people to be knowledgeable about possibilities of being in some difficult situations, or either, you know, some simple tips, if you will, for how to deal with difficult situations. I'm sorry, maybe I should not say that, but I'm sorry you've been through, as a human, through these difficulties in your life, because no human deserves, you know, to be in horrible aspects, you know, of the daily life. And I see in front of me today an extremely beautiful person. My listeners will not be able to see the video of this recording, but I am sure there will be a beautiful photo of you too for them to see. And I'm really, you know, grateful for you being the guest on today's show. Okay, so without further ado, let me ask you the question. Yeah. Could you please share the story with the listeners, your personal story?
Goodness, again, it's like, how do you possibly summarize that in a very small amount of time? I can give you sort of the Cliff Notes version. And of course, there's so much more depth to all of this, but I'm going to try and speed through it very quickly. I was raised very, very conservatively, way out in the middle of nowhere. I had an extremely primitive upbringing, and I was raised in an environment that I actually didn't feel great in. I had a lot of, you know, you're not good enough, you're never going to amount to anything, you're stupid, you're good for nothing, you're fat, you're a pig. You know, there's just a lot of negativity. And so at a young age, it's like you look to the people in your life when you're young like that, and you kind of adapt those things as truth for you, because it's like, why would someone say those things about me if they weren't true? And so I really took on a lot of things as truths for me because of the environment that I had. And that ended up dramatically impacting my own view of myself, my self-worth. I had very low confidence. I had very low view of myself in general. And yet at the same time, just the core of who I am, my DNA, I'm someone who's kind of a little bit of a rebel. If you see me, you would know that. And it's kind of like I had this determination that I did not want to be average. When I was told that I was good for nothing and wouldn't amount to anything, it was kind of like, I will prove you wrong. I'm going to show you, you know, you're going to be the last one laughing. And I just really was determined to not be average. I mean, that was just a core thing for me. I will never be average. I will never be mediocre. I will be somebody. I'm going to prove everybody wrong, you know? So I had that kind of sassy fierceness about me, just kind of in my DNA and who I was. And yet I had sort of like that conflicting thing going on where it's like I didn't feel like I had value to an extent. I was very insecure and I was very naive. I was very trusting. I'm an empathetic person. And so that personality right there can be someone that can be very easily preyed on by people who, you know, I'm sure this podcast is about broad awareness and things like that. And there are certain personality types that hone in on people exactly like me. They make the perfect recipe for coercion and manipulation and different things like that. So I was the walking poster for probably anybody who wants to zone in on someone like that, because I was insecure and I was naive. I was very sheltered and I was, you know, just empathetic person. I was very sensitive. And those are beautiful qualities. Those are absolutely beautiful qualities. And I've learned to appreciate that part of myself and be able to retain that part of myself, even though I have endured enormous amounts of trauma that could have potentially been avoided had I understood the dynamics of what was happening. So anyways, I got married very young. I was a young mother. I got married at 18. I had my daughter just after I turned 19. I ended up a single parent for the first time when I was 21. And my husband at the time turned out to be a criminal. He ended up incarcerated. And so there was a lot of, I mean, can you imagine, like 21 years old, you're typically maybe graduating from college, you're kind of just starting and maybe you're partying and all of that. I was someone who found myself a single mother at the age of 21 with a 2-year-old. So it was, my life started out being completely different than what I had ever dreamed that it would be. I had all those aspirations about being, you know, a successful singer, and I wanted to be an Olympic ice skater, and I had all these dreams like little girls do. But yet I found myself at 21 already in a state where I was completely not in accordance with what I had imagined for myself. And so fast forward 2.5 years later, I ended up getting married for a second time. And that marriage was one of those slow burn situations where going into the relationship, I had no idea that who I had married would become who that person ended up becoming. And I also didn't understand the things that I understand looking backwards. It's like that thing where hindsight is always 20/20. So I can look back and I've learned so many different things from that relationship, where a lot of women who have been in situations like this with toxic dynamics and who experience the relationships where it's very much, there's a lot of gaslighting, you're always the problem, all those things, you don't even realize that's what's happening. And there's a lot of women who would say to someone like me, oh, I would never, you know, I would never be in that situation. I would never let someone talk to me like that. I would, you know, it's like you say those things, but like I said, or maybe I didn't say this, but you think you would know what you would do in a situation. You truly believe wholeheartedly that you would know what you would do in a situation. And I have said those same things where I would never do this, or I would for sure do this, or I wouldn't put up with that. And it's like, until you are actually living that exact same situation as someone else, which is very hard to do because we all have our own individual life path, unless you're walking those exact same circumstances, I have learned to keep my mouth shut, because you just never know. You can end up in a situation and you thought you knew what you would do and it would be something completely different. So I found myself in a slow burn relationship where it transcended from being something that was, I guess what you could say from an external view, a fairly normal relationship, a fairly normal marriage. But it took on forms over time that developed is kind of like that frog in the water analogy. You know, it you don't even realize what's happening because it's happening so slowly. Because I was someone who would never be put in a situation where somebody would be, you know, tell me hateful things or be overtly abusive or whatever. I was someone who, it's like, I was so stubborn and headstrong. You can't treat me like that. Even though I didn't have a healthy self-esteem, that I did have certain boundaries, but that type of person understands exactly how to manipulate every single personality. And so in my case, the way that it was handled with me was manipulation through my compassion. So there was always this underlying victimness where I needed to be the one that was helping. It's like he always had problems. I needed to be the one that was helping the problems, solving the problems, fixing the problems. And so I thought, and I, in my insecurity and also being someone who loves to help people at my core, I love to help people. And so it was like, ooh, it turned into what I now recognize as having a little bit of that savior complex where I just really wanted to help and I was benefiting this person and I was making a positive difference, when in reality, I didn't understand some of the underlying psychology that was happening, where I was being positioned. And I'm getting very deep in this, and I'm not meaning to. I want to kind of go over some basics, but there was conditioning that was happening. So in this process of the totality that I was married to this person for approximately, I think by the time I am divorced again, I've been married twice, divorced twice. And that marriage, my second marriage lasted approximately 12 years. And in that time, it took on so many different, it was like a chameleon. It took on so many different identities in that relationship where I would have never, from the day one that I began that relationship till the time that it ended, it was not even recognizable anymore. It was completely different. My second husband also ended up being a criminal. He also became incarcerated. And so there was a lot of that. I mean, if you can even put yourself in my shoes, or even there are people that are listening to this that I'm sure are already having judgmental points of view towards me. Lightning strikes twice. Really? You married two criminals? I mean, I had this poured into me all the time saying, you know, your picker is broken. You don't know how to pick a guy. You know, why are you attracting people who are criminals? And it's like that. My first husband was a theology major. He was a pastor an assistant pastor before I met him. My second husband was somebody who was our friends were family. I'm saying that backwards. Our families were friends. Our sisters were best friends. This was not like it was some rando person that, you know, I lots of people successfully meet people online. So I'm not trying to knock that, but I'm just saying that there was no way that I would have known that the people that I had married would end up being the people who I had married. And so a lot of people cast judgments when they don't really understand, because these things are not easy to explain. They're extremely complex. They're psychologically complex. And now I have this awareness because of everything that I've learned about it. I've studied up a lot on these things. So my story, like I said, my second husband did end up in prison in 2016. I found myself a single parent again for the second time. And at this point, we had two children in this marriage. So I now had three children. And my youngest two at the time were, I believe, 4 and 5 years old. So it was completely and utterly devastating. They lost their dad overnight. There was no explanation that I could give them in a way that they would understand it. That was one of the hardest conversations I've ever had to have of this person is gone and not coming back. And it's like a death for them. So I navigated all of these things, and I had went through my own depression in all of this where I was the problem constantly. And I was an emotional eater. So I put on an enormous amount of weight. I was almost 300 pounds, and I had a lot of, you know, things attached, negativity attached to that, because, you know, from a young age, I was told, you know, I was knocked about being a pig and all these kinds of things. And so I had associated failure as my identity, and that I was, like, look at the life that I have created. Even while I was married, I was absolutely miserable. And because I was constantly told that I was the problem, and like I said, this was a slow burn situation. It did not start out that way. But over time, little by little by little by little, your confidence starts to get even worse. And you start to sort of take on some of these beliefs as maybe they're true, or you start to second guess yourself because they're very, very good at twisting the truth in a way that you can't even really tell what's true anymore. They're very good at being masterful with their words and with their manipulation techniques. And I didn't see it at the time, but I was convinced to go to therapy so that I could, you know, fix my issues. And so I was seeing multiple therapists. I was tried on multiple different medications. And it was actually during my therapy that my therapists were actually seeing some of the dynamics that were going on, because obviously they have been doing these things for a long time. And even though therapists typically aren't meant to give you advice, they're more about asking questions and helping you find your own answers, they saw some things happening, and they were starting to help me see that there was a lot of threats going on. I was having threats of, you know, he would get a gun and he would carry the gun, and he would talk about how he would do something to himself. He didn't know if he could take it anymore. His life was so miserable, and he would disappear from the house with the only vehicle that we had and send me GPS coordinates. And, you know, I don't know if I can make it, but here's the GPS coordinates to the car so that you still have a car. You know, it was all this kind of thing. So I lived in this paranoia of something might happen. And I would worry about, would I come home sometime and find him, you know, somewhere? Or it was like I lived in this constant state of, I need to keep everything okay. I need to keep everything peaceful. I need to make sure that the home environment is not going to be something that makes him snap. And he was also on medications and seeing therapists and different things. So the therapists were the ones that really started to help me understand some of what was going on and to say, you know what, you're actually being manipulated. A lot of people are giving empty threats, and you know, it would be really interesting if you kind of, I forget how they put it, but basically they were like, call his bluff, which I know can be not something that's recommended. I'm not telling you what to do. I am not a therapist. I'm not giving any official, don't hold me accountable for any of this. I'm just sharing my own personal story. But what happened was, before, like I said, the manipulation was more happening in the case of being the victim. It's like where I was sympathetic and, you know, my life is so miserable and you're helping me so much. And you know, he went through physical pain. So I'd have to, you know, deal with some of that and got addicted to pain meds and having to help him get off of the pain meds and going through withdrawals and all the kind of, so I was the one that was essentially kind of needing to be the, I was always the one that had to figure it out. I had to figure out, you know, the financial problems. I was the one that had to figure out whenever our house was foreclosed and had to figure out the new place to go and had to figure out where the money was going to come from. And so it's almost like I was now seeing this person as another person I had to take care of. It was like having an additional child and not a relationship where I felt any, you know, supported. And it was very opposite. So I built a lot of strength. I will say that I was already a strong person, but I built a lot of strength just because of the dynamics of the relationship. But I also felt completely bitter. I felt worn out. I felt, you know, it was very imbalanced relationship. And I had a lot of depression because I felt like I had gotten myself into a situation that I didn't feel like I had any possibility of getting out of. Because when I did start getting to the point where I pushed back, where I was more apathetic about the threats, where they weren't impacting me so much, then it did shift from more of that, you know, victim-y, like, I, you're helping me, you're making such a big difference, my life is better because of you, but I'm still struggling, blah, blah, blah. It shifted to definitely more of the actual threats of, if you think you're ever going to divorce me and get away with it, I'm going to make your life a living hell. It really turned more into the actual threats and, you know, carrying the gun around. He worked from home, so he had the gun on his desk. And, you know, just there was more, it turned more of a fear-based situation. And this is a time where I didn't even have any knowledge of any criminal activity that was happening on his part. This was just the dynamics of the relationship itself. So I'm trying to think of where, I know I've said a whole lot of stuff here, but there's a lot that I've navigated and a lot that I have realized as I've reflected back over what did I learn from these situations and how was I able to rebuild myself after all of this? Because a lot of women can slip into some different things. They can't, a lot of women, for one thing, identify themselves, it's like they connect themselves to the situation as women. We take personal responsibility for a lot of things that we actually aren't meant to take personal responsibility for. as I look back, you know, I would have a lot of frustration towards my past self and like, oh, how did you do this? How did you put up with this? Why did you put up with this? How did this happen? You know, I did a lot of that sort of self-analysis and doing an audit over myself and my life, because even though I could have never known that I would have married the people that I married or who they would have become or what would have happened, I do not take responsibility for that. That is not mine to own. However, when you see some commonalities happening, you have to sort of ask yourself the question, how did this happen? How did this happen to me twice? And it's rare that a person ends up with someone who has that, you know, a criminal, we'll just say that. And for it to happen twice for me. So I did start to look back and I did start to see, were there any common themes? You know, is there a way that I could have recognized some of these things, knowing what I know now? I did not see it then, but looking in retrospect, I clearly see red flags. Red flags were everywhere from the beginning, but I didn't have the emotional intelligence back then. I didn't have the understanding, the wisdom, the education. And so one thing I want to say right here is there's a quote that I saw one time and I can't remember. I'm going to botch it up, not do it any justice. But the quote said something like, forgive yourself for not knowing the things that you didn't know back then when you were going through what you were going through. And I feel like that is so important because I would have so much shame about myself and who I was and the path that I had walked, even though, like I said, I wasn't personally responsible for the decisions that they made, that my ex-husbands made. I was so frustrated with that past version of myself, you know? And it's like, I realize now that I was holding myself accountable, my past self accountable, for knowledge and life experience and emotional intelligence that I had now, but I didn't have that back then. So it's like I did the best that I knew how with who I was at the time, the support that I had at the time, the confidence that I had at the time, the resources that I had at the time, the knowledge that I had at the time. Everything that I had at the time was what created, and you can look back and say it was a huge flop, failure, whatever, but that is, I made the best decisions that I knew how with all of those factors. So for anybody listening right now, that's so important for you to give yourself some grace, give yourself some compassion, because life is messy and we all have stuff that we go through. You have your own stuff. I have my own stuff and you might not be able to relate to mine exactly, but we all have stuff that we go through. And what I have learned is that in this process, it's been one of the hardest things I've went through wave after wave after wave after wave. These are just touching some extremely, you know, highlight details about the whole thing. Very surface level. There's a lot more depth to this. I mean, I've lost a baby late in pregnancy. And I mean, there's been so many different things. And I used to see all of those as massive failures, huge mistakes that I had made, things that I was embarrassed about. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have kids now. I don't want them to know all these things about me, whatever. Now, this is the importance of being able to reframe things, which is a huge part of what I'm here to help other people do, is to understand things from a different context. I do not see my past life and the things that I have been through as from a negative standpoint. What I mean by that doesn't mean that things that happened weren't negative, of course. There's trauma, there's drama, and I'm not trying to dismiss that or anything that you might be going through. However, I see all of those now as tools that I have in my tool belt that I can now be able to speak towards something with authority and conviction because I've been through it. I've lived it. I understand it. And especially being someone who's very sympathetic, empathetic, I can exceptionally understand those on a deep level, even things that I haven't actually lived out, because I have that level of ability to put myself literally in someone else's shoes and feel what you feel, think what you think, think how it must have, you know, felt to be that person. So I now see all of that as huge benefits. Anybody that you read about in history books, the people who are legends, you look at their lives and I guarantee you, I don't think nobody that I know who we know as a very impactful world changer, somebody who has made a significant impact on this planet, none of those people have had easy lives. You look back and they've had piles and piles and piles and piles and trails like longer than you could possibly even trace of failures and massive mistakes over and over and over again. So that's one of the things that I have learned is that my story, when I look back, I was designed to be a freaking badass. Like my story, I'm not here to play small. And my story is a story that can have a tremendous impact if I share it. And your story is the same. And I'm not pressuring or shaming or trying to put anybody in a situation about sharing their story. That's up to you. You can do it however you want to do it or not do it. That's completely up to you. But what I do want to say is that I am who I am. And I absolutely love who I am, even though, and I don't say that from an inflated place or from a pious or I'm better than anybody else. It's not that at all. I love who I am from a place of I have so much compassion and so much grace for the person that I was and the life that I have lived, because as much as I used to have negativity and frustration towards the past version of me, I now see that as, you know what, that girl, that 19-year-old, that 18-year-old, that 21-year-old, that, you know, that person who was going to that therapist's office and who was being tried on medications and who was going through all of those years of yo-yoing on diets and, you know, all kinds of eating disorders and all of those things, that girl, she somehow, even though she felt so hopeless and so helpless, she went one more day. She went one more day, and then she went one more day, even though she had the suicidal thoughts, even though she thought about being someone who cut herself because it was the only way that she could think of releasing pain and frustration and all the inner turmoil that she was feeling without hurting anybody else. She showed up one more day. And that girl is who walked me to who I am today. I can't begrudge her. I can't be upset at her for any decisions or choices or mistakes that she made. She actually is how I became who I am today. And it is the circumstances and all of the things that I have navigated, all of the tears, all of the betrayals, all of the rumors that have been spread about me, all of the criticism, all of the people who have walked out of my life because they made assumptions or believed lies that were completely not even anything close to the truth. My worst fears, I have lived my worst fears, and I stand here before you, someone who is more confident, more powerful, more impactful, more inspiring, stronger than ever before. And it is because of how I have chosen to view and to perceive the things that have happened to me. That part is a choice. We can't always have complete control over the things that have happened to us in our lives. But we have 1,000% control over how we choose to perceive those things and what we do with those things. And there's a story I'll say really quick about twin brothers that were raised by an alcoholic father who was in and out of prison. And the boys, one of them became a massive success, business, just, you know, like trajectory was completely opposite of what his dad did. The other son, when he grew up, was just like his father, the alcoholic in and out of prison. And there was a reporter that was so fascinated by that, how they could be so dramatically different. They were raised under the same environment, the same conditions and all of that, how one turned out so dramatically different than the other one. So he interviewed both of them and asked them that question. And both of them had essentially the same response. And the response was, with a father like I had, how could I have turned out any other way? And so what I have found, and this is going to be a little bit of tough love. And if you know me, I am so big about love. I love humans. I love, love, love humans. And I love encouraging and I love supporting people. And I have been someone who was the victim and I was in the victim mentality and I had every right to be honest. And it's okay. You know, I wallowed for a while and I had the self-pity and all of that. But I also think that there is a time for us to take some stake and to have an honest conversation with ourselves. And I want to send so much love and infuse you with so much love right now, because this is actually a very empowering thing that I'm going to say to you, is that you absolutely get to choose how you move forward from here. The reason why I'm standing here today as who I am today with the success that I've had, I built a successful online business. I'm not even here to promote anything about that. I really am here just to share my story to help inspire and uplift. But I am someone who has walked this path and who has proven that good, beautiful things can absolutely come from brokenness. Brokenness is one of the most beautiful things. People resent brokenness. They don't want to talk about brokenness. The word brokenness already has a negative connotation. Not to me. Not to me at all. I can tell you all day long how beneficial brokenness can be and all the reasons why that is. So I want to be someone that shows you that the way that you perceive what has happened to you and the way that you choose to reframe it as all of this, even though I would never wish it on anybody else, and it was absolutely horrifyingly painful numerous times in numerous ways, I have chosen. I say that differently because I don't want to give credit to the thing or to the person who created the trauma. There's no credit there. But I will say that how I have chosen to navigate those things that have happened to me or in my life is what has been the thing that has changed the trajectory of my life 1,000-fold. I am not the same person today that I was. My life looks nothing different than nothing like. It looks completely different. It looks nothing like what it used to look like. And that all comes down to, when I'm talking about changing your perception and, you know, choosing how you want to see things, you might be in a situation where you're like, but how? And I really don't have time to go into all of that. But what I will say is that the biggest thing for me is that I put a enormous intentional focus. This does not happen by happenstance. You can't just live your life reactively and it just works out this way. It took intentional focus on my part to, and this term is thrown around a lot, but and a lot of people have, you know, whatever perceptions about it. But the mindset, your mindset will absolutely make you or break you. And when you're able to take complete self-responsibility and take complete self-leadership in your life, where you are no longer, I was someone who was looking for everything on the external. I needed other people to validate me. I needed other people to help show my value. I needed people to help see my worthiness and to be able to help see that I was, you know, I don't know, whatever. My point is that I needed, you know, I needed the money to be able to show me that I felt solid and stable. I needed the career to be able to, you know, make me feel like, okay, I'm successful. If you are needing anything on the external in order for you to feel whatever the thing is, whatever the feeling is, in order for you to feel loved, in order for you to feel safe, in order for you to feel stable, in order for you to feel successful, in order for you to feel valuable, that holds you hostage. Because what I have found that the truth is, and this is why you can get to a state of almost being invincible. And I will tell you, you can absolutely be your own superhero. Because when you get to the point where you're not looking, there's no circumstance that you need orchestrated in order for you to know that you are valuable, know that you matter, to know that you are worthy. If nothing on the external is attached to that, you are unstoppable. You are absolutely limitless. There's nothing that can be taken from you. There's no, you could lose it all, because believe me, this has happened to me numerous times. I've completely lost it all. I've been the person that's sold plasma to be able to get groceries. I've been in line at the food bank. I mean, I have been at the absolute lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the low. I was homeless for 3 months when I was a single parent. So, I mean, I've been through all that stuff. And I've gotten to the point because I lived it. That's the thing. Because I lived it, that is why I'm able to talk to you from a position of conviction and authority on these things, because I've lived it. And I got to the place where I realized, you know what? None of it matters. None of it made my value any different than it is right now. My status, my income, my relationships, it can feel good. It can feel nice to have. But I'm at a place now where I am so solid and so stable that take away the money, take away the relationships, take away whatever it is. And I know that I am still completely and utterly worthy. And you are too. That's the biggest message. If I could get one message across to every single woman or human being on this planet, it would be to truly understand and own your worthiness, which is a process. That is a process. That is a process of undoing the conditioning, the belief systems, which beliefs are just thoughts that you keep thinking. A belief, just because you believe it, isn't actually, doesn't, that the truth has nothing to do with that. You can believe something that is completely not truth because it's just a thought that you repetitively think, and now you think it's a belief, and it's not actually. You can undo your belief systems. And that's what I had to do. And I did that through enormous amounts of personal development. I prioritized, I intentionally focused on my personal development continuously. Whether that was listening to podcasts, I have a whole list of podcasts that were super impactful to me in shifting my mindset. And so when I was doing laundry, when I was driving, when I was cooking, cleaning, whatever, I would listen sometimes hours a day. You think you don't have hours a day? What are you doing with your time? You know, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just saying I knew that I had an intense situation in my life, and I knew that it called for intense amounts of shifting my belief systems, because my belief systems and how I viewed myself was what was actually attracting the dynamics that I was living, the people that I got in relationships with. All of that had to do with the beliefs about myself, how I viewed myself. That's how I was able to even get into a relationship with someone who turned out to be the way that they were. So that's why I'm so passionate about sharing specifically with you about your mindset, even though it sounds, you know, so simple, it is so powerful. Mindset, personal development. I read books, all kinds of books on failing forward and, you know, how to shift your mindset about different things. There's so many incredible authors that will help you see that failure, mistakes, imperfection creates connection. Why are we trying to be so freaking perfect? When I see the person who shows up as a hot mess, not in a like deprecating or victimy way, but when I see someone who's like, oh my gosh, you know, like I'm a hot mess, but I'm showing up today, and you know, they're whatever the thing is, I'm like, that inspires me because it makes me feel like, okay, she can show up. She's not doing this perfectly. I can show up. And then someone seeing me doing that, when I was in my, you know, my days where I was very morbidly obese and literally hurt to exist, walking hurt, couldn't tie my own shoes. When I would see other people who would be doing workouts online, you know, or somewhere, and they didn't look like those perfectly in shape, you know, six pack abs type people, I was like, that is so inspiring. That I love to see people just being authentically who they are. So whenever you're feeling, you know, like somehow the stuff that you've been through, that people, yeah, there might be people who have judged you. I've for sure had that. Yeah, people might, I've for sure had that. But you know what? It's made me more resilient. It's made me more thick-skinned. It's made me, I have so much more mental fortitude because I've navigated those things, and I've come out on the other side, and I've chosen how I'm going to handle those things, and I'm going to use those things to empower myself and not to disempower myself, because I get to choose that. You get to choose that. Because of all that, oh my gosh, my life has taken on such an incredible, it's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But that's my point. Be your imperfect self. Be your authentic self. Share the parts of you that might feel a little bit of a stretch, and you might be like, ooh, this feels a little bit scary. And somebody out there, even if it doesn't have to be on a big platform like, you know, me doing these podcasts, it doesn't have to look like that. It doesn't have to look like my social media posts. I'm like bearing my whole self out on social media. I had no idea who all sees it, you know, fraud awareness, whatever. She's probably like, yeah, you're probably sharing too much. But I share it. I share stuff. But share what, you know, my advice would be to start sharing things in a format. Maybe it's in a Facebook group that's small. Maybe it's with one person, you go out for coffee, and find some way to be able to open up a little bit, to practice being vulnerable just a little bit. And it doesn't mean you have to like tell your whole life story like I'm doing, but sharing parts of that, it's incredible. It's, first of all, it's very healing to you. It adds additional layers of healing to yourself as you do this, because whatever you keep in the dark stays in the dark, and whatever you expose to the light can actually be healed, and you can shift it out, and it doesn't impact you in a negative way anymore. So I feel like I've said a whole bunch of stuff, and hopefully it made sense and it was constructed in a way that kind of landed in some form or fashion. But I'm going to pause there and see if there's anything you wanted to say or ask me specifically.
Excuse me, Mindy. First of all, this episode I feel like is one of the best, if not the best, episodes I've ever done.
Oh my God.
My podcast, simply because it's a real story, number one. Number two, you've made an amazing and excellent analysis of the situation and the trajectory and the path you went through. And not only that, but you added to it how to move forward from something difficult that you've been through. And that's amazing. That's in itself, to me, is a wealth of knowledge, is an educational piece. Because now you're offering great analysis, you know, of difficulties someone could be potentially going through to one degree or another in their lives, but also how to navigate through that and move forward away from it, and what kind of lessons, you know, to learn, and how not to lose yourself. Because, hey, the life we live is only one. We're not cats. We don't have nine lives. Excuse me. So having said that, I think it's incredible what you're sharing with us today and with the listeners. I of course, do have questions for you. For example, from the perspective of fraud awareness, I know you spoke about manipulation, you spoke about gaslighting. And with that, I'd like to mention here fraudulent situations when scammers are trying to present themselves to people as being a regular person, trying to establish a romantic relationship online with someone, and then starting to manipulate them into performing criminal acts, such as investing into cryptocurrencies or using stolen financial information in order to purchase high-end expensive items online, and many, many other things. So that in itself is, you know, a similar type of manipulation, even though it's not in a real life relationship, but it still affects people terribly psychologically. And with that, I'd like to ask you, from your experience and the analysis that you've made being in difficult relationships with some personalities that are manipulative, what kind of red flags you would recommend people to watch out for now from the perspective of someone who has the knowledge and the experience, you know, of recognizing those? That would be one question I really love to ask you. And lastly, of course, I'd like to ask you for some advice again. I know it could be repetitive, but it's always good to hear an advice how to remain resilient when you're going through difficulties in your life.
Thank you. Well, and thank you for that beautiful. I feel so appreciated. So thank you for that. So yeah, the red flags thing, I feel like those are all over the place. And yet, something I want to say is that some things that in looking back are clear red flags because things happened the way that they happened does not necessarily mean that you can apply those exact same things to any situation and have that be a red flag. Because there can be some things that it could be actually very normal behavior for someone that I'm not explaining this the right way. I guess basically I'm just saying I'm sharing with you my experience. But I can already hear people, you know, because you're always anticipating what, you know, how could people interpret this or what could they say about that? Or, you know, some professionals get on here that's like, oh, I'm a professional in the world of narcissism and all of this stuff and say, oh, she's completely off base or whatever. I am just sharing my own experience. I am not by any means claiming to be a professional or a psychologist or, you know, anything. This is just a human being who had a life experience and I'm sharing it. And so whatever you can extract from that for that could potentially benefit you, awesome. But try things on for yourself. And if it doesn't feel like a match, throw it out the window. You know, I always feel like people should tune into their own personal. I'm a very spiritual person. I really am very spiritually connected. So I oftentimes, if you follow me in my world, I talk about spiritual guidance. I really filter things through my own intuition, my gut instinct, and my spiritual guidance to really have understanding to get the clarity about how to navigate life and just, you know, how to understand certain things and certain dynamics. And that is one thing that I do want to point out right there is the gut, because these types of people do not want you to have a strong connection to your own identity. They do not want you to be confident. They do not want you to listen to your gut, right? So I was conditioned to not listen to my gut. And then also, depending on what your experience is in a toxic relationship, a lot of times people can start to misinterpret your gut. You know, you'll feel like, oh, my gut was telling me this or whatever. And sometimes you can actually be conditioned for your gut to kind of misfire. It's kind of like how a lot of women who are drawn to abusive men, and they're in this continuous pattern. It's like this rut. Why am I always attracting this type of person? And I feel like I have so much clarity on that now. So when they will have genuinely felt like, no, I thought this, and he was so good to me, and he was this, and he was that. And it's like, I can see it from the beginning now, but that's because of what I know now. And you could apply those same things to, you know, like if I was to tell you the red flags that I noticed, that does not automatically mean that someone else who may be exhibiting the same types of behaviors is automatically a criminal or is automatically a narcissist. That's what I'm trying to say. It is not exclusive that every person who shows up in this way is a psycho, you know, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. So I want to kind of put that little disclaimer there first. But my patterns that I have noticed, at least in my case, like I said, these people are experts. They are brilliant, usually have very high IQs. I am extremely smart. So that's one thing is that a lot of women, you know, or a lot of other people looking at people who have been victimized will look at that person. It's like, how could they be such an idiot? Nothing like that could ever happen to me. I would have clearly seen through that. Well, that's what worked for that person. In one of my therapy sessions, I was trying to work through some things and like how to even explain certain things to my younger children, because they were too little to understand the concept of anything that had happened, the criminal activity and all those things. So I was kind of like, how do I even explain these things? And what was wrong with me, you know, kind of like trying to understand. And I remember the therapist saying that with this particular type of person, they said, we brought in an expert who had interviewed these specific personality types for like 30 years, studied these people. So that person was absolutely an expert. And what they said was, they said, how can women protect themselves from this type of person? You know, how can they recognize? And that expert who had interviewed and worked with and studied these personality types for, I believe it was about 30 years, said, there's pretty much nothing you can do because they are master manipulators. They know every personality type and they know exactly which way to work with you specifically. So some people are more easy to manipulate in a demeaning way. And then there are some that they know that isn't going to work with you. And so they know to work more on your sympathy side, your empathy side, you know, making you go more into the people pleasing zone, making you feel like you're a bad person if you don't help or you don't support, or giving you all kinds of praise because you're making such a positive difference, that they know that you're somebody who loves to help and who loves to serve and who loves to, you know, make a positive impact. There's a lot of, you know, building you up. So it can be so, that's what I'm saying. These are super complex things. These are not easy things. You cannot easily label something and be like, that person was an idiot because they got manipulated or scammed. It's not like that. There are situations that we could look at and place judgment and be like, okay, yeah, I would never have whatever. But that does not mean that you could not be someone who could be subject to something like this. But, you know, this person said, yeah, it's pretty much, you really can't, because they know how to manipulate every single personality under the sun. Like they're masters at this. They study it. They know it. But there are common themes where someone who is confident, who is self-assured, who is a very, very, like, very strong. How do I say this? You give off a certain energy. I'm big on energetics, and you give off a certain energy where you will literally repel people like that because they can just sense that you are not an easy target. And easy targets, I'm just going to say this real because I was this person. I'm not judging anybody who falls under this description because I was that person, even though I didn't realize that I was an easy target. But I'm just saying, traits that show up as criteria for easy targets for people like that, and I mentioned this, I touched on it before, would be people who are insecure, people who are codependent, people who are naive, who haven't had a whole lot of life experience, who are very trusting, easily trusting. And I want to say I did not become a cynical. I could have been a cynical, you know, being very men like, ooh, I need to put everybody through a fine tooth comb. And I have done a beautiful job of maintaining my heart, my empathy, my kindness, my desire to help people without becoming a cynic and someone who's like, ooh, you know, because I've had these relationship issues, like I'm trying to catch the guy and whatever, you know, how might he be manipulating me? Because I'm telling you, what you focus on, where you focus, energy flows. If you're always trying to catch someone in manipulative behavior, you're going to attract people who are manipulating. It's how it works. So I really don't put a lot of focus and energy and attention on those types of things because that's not the dynamic, first of all, that I want to attract. But anyways, to get back to my point, that even though they do know how to manipulate every personality, they know how to stroke the egos of the people who are, you know, the more egotistical ones. They know how to really be able to amplify and help you feel uplifted and help you feel like you're the most incredible human being on the planet. You're the most beautiful person. They're able to see the insecurity. They're able to see how to capitalize on the insecurity and how to make it work to their advantage. But they also can tell through little things. They'll do little sort of like testing the waters to see how this works with you on a small scale. And then over time, it can build up into bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, bigger things to where you literally have zero idea how you ended up in that place because you know that you had never chosen that for yourself. And then now you find yourself in a position where you actually don't know how to get out. Because it's so complex, there's so much depth and so much woven into it that, you know, I've talked to women will come to me and they'll be like, you know, there have been women who are literally afraid for their lives. There are people who, you know, their stuff is being tapped, they're being watched, their phones, their electronics. I mean, it gets extreme. And I dealt with some of that too. So there are, of course, you know, the deeper answers of, you know, how do you even navigate a situation like this? And I know that there are women, it's like, if you're even listening to this podcast, there are some people who would be trying to delete their search history or, you know, like they could get in trouble just for watching something like this. And I, you know, I'm mindful of those things too, because yeah, it can be a very scary world. But I will say, without getting into all the nitty gritty about, you know, the mechanics of strategies and how this can work, the common thing that I would hear from women, and I know I'm getting a little bit off base, but clearly this is meant to come out, is the common theme that I hear from a lot of women is that they don't know how they can make it. They're afraid that they'll lose the financial support. They're afraid of how their life will be impacted, what their, you know, social status. There's just a lot of fear. The bottom line is fear. But the majority of the fear is usually personal safety and financial security and housing. So I would just say, because I mean, I was literally displaced when my ex was put in prison. We had to be out of the house immediately. So for 3 months, we had to float from place to place to place. You know, if somebody had a guest bedroom, I'll pile in the guest bedroom, you know, sleeping wherever we could until I could get a place for ourselves. But I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. I wasn't working outside the home at the time. I mean, basically what I'm saying is every fear that you could possibly be like, how is this going to work out? How? And so you're not doing anything about it, even though you know that this isn't the best scenario for you. If you have children, you know, a lot of people stay in situations because they have children. And in reality, it's like, but what is this actually showing your child by continuing in this type of dynamic that can also be extremely detrimental? There's all these things. What I will say is that from my own personal experience, there is nothing that you will have every support that you need. Whatever your fear is, there are so many organizations that this is exactly what they do. They will help you find the safety. They will, it can go as extreme as it needs to get. Witness protection. There are solutions. You don't have to, the finances, the medical care, the anonymity, all of those things, there absolutely is support and solutions for. So I wouldn't want any woman out there to not make a decision that she feels is best for her, her family, and her safety because of those things. Because you absolutely, it might be bumpy. Yeah, it might not be the most ideal, situation that you would, you're not necessarily going to be like in a palace or something, but you can absolutely, there's so many resources that can help you be able to have food in your bellies, a safe place for your family, and help you be able to get reestablished and back on your feet again, regardless of whatever you're being told, regardless of whether you're being threatened, regardless of if you say something, because believe me, I had stuff like this too. If you're being told these things, if you say something and you're like being told that you can't and you'll never make it and I'm going to find you and all those things. I don't know. I don't want to, I don't want to be someone that is personally accountable for the decision that you make for yourself. I just want to tell you that there is support. There are so many places that are specifically for this reason. And in my case, it was tricky for me to even get away from the house without being tracked. I had to keep the same patterns, the same behaviors, go the same places. I could not talk to anybody on my phone. I couldn't text anybody, couldn't look anything up on my phone. I understand there are complexities to these things, and it can take some creative thinking and kind of just being able to see things from an outside perspective of, if you are having these dynamics where you're being tracked and traced and calls and, spying, all these things that can make things a little bit, it definitely did make it challenging for me. But there's nothing, look at me, I'm standing here. I'm telling you that it's possible. Anything's possible. So let's see. So you were asking about the red flags. A big red flag would be any victim type of thing, because and this is probably going to sound like I'm being sexist. People can accuse me of that, whatever. But from my perspective, we all go through stuff. Okay. I'm not saying that men do not go through stuff. I know men go through stuff, and I have every compassion for that. What I also will find, though, is if there is a consistent thing where someone, not just a man, men go through this stuff, the abuse stuff, the coercion, that all the stuff with women. So this goes both ways, but we're kind of talking about women's empowerment, and I'm just sharing my story, which happened to be, where the man was the person that was causing this. So if there's any pattern of, like what I was experiencing, where it was constant, he was constantly the victim. Constantly, like I was the one that was needing to provide the support. I was needing to find the solutions. I was needing to, and this is just one aspect of these are tiny built up things that happen over time. And then if it was, if there was a consistent thing where they're very intelligent, and one thing that was always thrown in my face was, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong, because this just is the way that it is. There is no other way. So I couldn't even have my own views about things. If I did have a view about something that was different than the way that he perceived it, it was for him, it wasn't even a perception. It was, this is the truth. This isn't my perception. This is the truth. And so if you don't see it this way, then you're being stupid, because you're literally saying you don't, I think he said that one time I was like, I do not subscribe to believing the way that you see this. And he was like, so what you're telling me is that you are willingly saying that you believe a lie because this other way is actually the truth. And you're saying you refuse to believe that. So you're saying to me that you willingly believe a lie. How smart is that? And so it would be things like that where they would paint a scenario where you almost can't even get out of it. It's like, they think of every possible thing that you could possibly say, and they're, you know, 18 steps ahead of it. They've already figured out how to respond to it. And there's almost no answer that you can give that would make any sense. And then you just feel like an idiot for even saying something. And so you learn to like start not even saying things, because you see what problems it ends up creating when you actually do say something. So your voice starts to get quieter and quieter. You're not saying things as much. And in my case, it happened certain things like, you know, our marriage problems are our marriage problems. Don't be talking to other people about our marriage problems. Like that's a sacred thing between you and I. If we have a problem, then we need to work it out between the two of us. If we get counseling or whatever, if we need to, but we're not going to talk about our stuff to other people. Well, that's an isolating technique. I respect that things are sacred, marriages, whatever, but that's why I'm saying you can't always apply these things to every situation. But me looking back with what I navigated, I understand now that that was an isolating technique that was training me to not be talking publicly about things that were happening inside the home, because we would be discovered. There's certain things might be discovered. If people knew some of the stuff, people would start to understand that some things were going on and would raise some red flags with people and say, okay, that doesn't make sense. You know, I was very involved in our church community, and I remember one time the pastor, you know, so here's another thing that a lot of women I think experience is that he was very, very charismatic, very, what I would perceive to be very well liked. He had a prayer list of 200 some people that he would text every single day and let them know that he was praying for them. So people would think I was crazy if I was to ever say anything. It's like, no. That makes no sense. You know, this is the person that prays for me every day. You know, he had established relationships. And so you can't just go and say stuff. So I know a lot of people will be, you know, they're married to cops or they're married to people who are prominent, you know, some people who have high status positions in companies or organizations or politically or whatever. And that alone, that being held over somebody, that is a huge red flag. There are so many huge red flags, but we're conditioned to not see them as red flags because it's like, no, you're actually the crazy one. So I'm sparing you embarrassment from other people because you're the crazy one and they're so well liked. And it's like you can't say anything because they're the one that people are. If you say anything, who are they going to believe? They're not going to believe you. So it's things like that. It's when you're also being demeaned constantly, if you're being emotionally, financial abuse, where people are literally making it impossible for you to do anything, you know, turning off your credit cards. And I mean, of course, there are extremes to this because some people just have really, you know, irresponsible financial behavior. And so like, I'm not saying that this applies in every single situation, but I have known women who the husband or a significant other could sense that she was possibly, you know, wanting to leave. And so they would shut down, take them off the bank accounts, shut off the credit cards. And, you know, they were a stay-at-home mom, so they had no way of earning their own money and literally made it impossible for that person to leave. So that's another thing. So it's like, I've just learned from my experience looking back at all of these things that are so obvious to me in retrospect. And I would absolutely be the person that would be like, what in the hell, Mindy? How? Because I know that that's not me. I know that I'm a smart person, but I also know that I have gained what feels like, you talked about a cat having 9 lives. I feel like I have gained 9 lives of experience going through these things. And that's one of the reasons, even though I do not like talking about these things, do you think that I don't have thoughts about who is going to see this? And, you know, what if my ex gets out of prison and sees these things? Like, who? Of course I have fears like that. But I'm also very spiritually connected. I also know that I learned a quote that says, when God is for you, who can be against you? And I just trust that I went through these experiences, not because I keep my little, you know, story hidden and, you know, I'm not going to say anything about it. I really believe that one of the reasons why I have had the experiences that I've had and why I am someone who feels this innate just passion and almost like not even a passion. It's like, I have to do this. I have to do this. And for that for me to have this story and to be who I am as someone who needs to say these things, even though I do not like talking about these things. I don't like even thinking about these things. I don't like reflecting on my past. I don't like any of that. I would much rather just leave it behind me and not say anything. But I think about the woman out there who was like me, who was isolated and feeling hopeless and helpless and not knowing what to do, feeling like she was so stuck that, you know, I couldn't bear the thought of my husband at the time. If I did somehow get divorced, I couldn't stand the thought of him having shared custody. I was so in fear about that, even though people could say, well, what fear would you? That's crazy. You have fear. What are you talking about, Mindy? I see how good he is with the kids. So I understand what it feels like to feel stuck and like you can't do anything. And if you did do something, what would happen? I personally was fearing a murder-suicide situation in my own dynamic. That's what I was fearing. And so I knew for my own self that it was going to be a matter of like me needing to have the kids, everybody out of the house and safe before anything went down because I was afraid that it would be hostage, murder, suicide, like it was going to be a hot mess. And I feel like I was given sort of like that insight so that I could know how to get everybody outside of the house safe before he was put in prison. So those are some of the red flags that I've noticed. I could give you gazillion examples more, but when I compare it in contrast to a healthy relationship, and a healthy relationship is not perfect. I'm not trying to draw a perfect scenario, but a healthy relationship that I've learned now, because I have done it myself. I have put myself through the healing. I have put myself through therapy and through the self-analysis and taking personal responsibility of the parts that are mine to take, and also being able to release myself of the shame and guilt that I was attaching to my circumstances and the things that had happened to me. So, and I've done the work. I've done the work on my mindset, and it's constant. It never ends. I'm always going to be evolving into, you know, more expanded versions of myself. But because I have done that, now I recognize, I'm like, you know what? I have so much to bring to the table now. I know who I am. I own who I am. I love who I am. And now, you know, I am single at the moment. I'm very picky, not from a cynical standpoint. I just know what I bring to the table. And so now it's more about, you know, when I see a man and or a relationship, you know, I'm not saying whatever your flavor is, it's I know how to detect when something is healthy. And I know how to be able to see that healthy, what does healthy look like? What does healthy mean? Because some people have never been modeled a healthy relationship when they were growing up and what they witnessed with their parents. So they never experienced it that way. And they also haven't experienced it maybe perhaps in their own personal life. And a lot of times we don't even know how to understand that the relationship we're in is unhealthy because you just make all these justifications. Nobody's perfect. And then you think of all the good times where, you know, there's all these good behaviors and they do these things and those things feel good. So like the other stuff, is it really that bad? And you start to rationalize and justify and talk yourself out of it. But now, because I understand, none of that would I ever put up with now, like none of it. And I'm not saying perfection, but I understand healthy means here's how I would show up in a relationship. I would be someone who owns who I am, who owns my faults, who owns my flaws, but I am not codependent. I allow people to be who they are, to be their authentic selves. I'm not trying to stifle anybody, not trying to change anybody, not going into it thinking like, oh my gosh, this is an amazing person. He could be that much better. No. I allow people the freedom of their own process. I understand that everybody has their own life path. I don't have any attachments, not because of any disdained thing of where I'm saying, well, you know, this is probably not going to work out, so I'm not being attached to it. It's not like that at all. It's a healthy detachment of I just trust the flow of my life, and I trust that people come in, people leave, that, you know, people stay. Some are there forever. Some are there for a little bit of a season, and then they drift out. And I always trust that that is for a reason and a lesson and a blessing. Somehow it works out. So I very much have this detachment towards any specific outcomes or needing anybody to give me anything because I have learned to stand on my own two feet. That's one thing I've loved about being single as long as I have, even though it wouldn't have been my preference necessarily. I just haven't found the right person. But one thing that I've loved is that I have learned that I really don't, it's not a matter of needing a relationship. I am a relationship person. I do desire a relationship, but I am not willing I'm not willing to settle. I'm just going to put it very, very easy that way. So learning how that I was able to support my family by myself. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I've definitely I had state assistance. I've had the food stamps and, you know, I'm not saying that it was like every single thing was 100% me. God's helped me. You know, I've had people rally around me and help me at times. And then there are times where it was like, ain't nobody around. You know, it was like, I felt completely isolated, completely by myself. But I learned that I am resilient. There is nothing that I can't make it through. And so I don't need anything in a relationship. I don't need a man. And I don't say that from like that women's, you know, trying to whatever, bash men or whatever. It's not that I don't need no man. It's not like that. It's that I don't, it truly is something that is adding to me and the beautiful life that I already have. It's not that I'm needing someone to financially support me or I'm needing this relationship because I need to feel loved and validated. And I need it's because of no neediness. And that's to me the I'm not perfect, but I feel like that is the more I'll just say a higher level way of entering in a relationship. So if you're in a relationship where there are codependent dynamics and there's a lot of neediness and there's like attachment and you know you're feeling lost if you don't, it doesn't even have to be an abusive relationship or a quote unquote toxic relationship. It could just be something where there are two people that, you know, haven't really maybe done the internal work and they haven't really done some of the healing work within themselves. And so it's manifesting. There are a lot of people who are adults playing in a playground who have all kinds of woundedness, and you're just wounded people, you know, playing in the playground with other wounded people. And so that's going to produce an environment in a relationship that is, there's a lot of wounded dynamics. There's going to be, you know, it's like that thing where hurting people hurt people. And it's like, if you don't heal what hurt you, you're going to bleed on people that didn't cut you. It's like that. So healing yourself, doing that self-work is the best. Like if you were to give your gift, a gift to yourself and a gift to your significant other, anybody else, really start with yourself, like learn to be more self. People really, this sounds contradictory, but you need to learn to be more selfish. We have been conditioned to be way too selfless to the point where it is so detrimental to ourselves and to other people. So for yourself first, if you were to give one gift to yourself, it would be do the work for you. And what that can look like can actually look like you're going in reverse. It can look like you are losing ground. It's one of the things where sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better. Sometimes it be like that. It just is. And sometimes that might mean, especially if you're in a unhealthy relationship that isn't for your highest good, so many times when a woman is starting to do these things, it will end up making things really crunchy in the relationship. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? Or, you know, they're going to try and put you down, or they're going to try and bring you back, because it can make people, not just in the relationship, this can happen in friendships. This can happen with coworkers. This can happen with anybody. I have lost so many people in my life as I have up-leveled myself as a human being, because either the person will calibrate and they'll be able to kind of like grow alongside you, or it will create such a big gap. There'll be too big of a gap for you guys to even really connect anymore. And some people will, because they don't want to lose a relationship, they'll go back into being that old version of themselves because they don't want to lose that person. And I mean, do what you want. Wouldn't recommend it. I always recommend the growth, because what you have access to on the other side of that healing and that growth, oh my gosh, the relationships, the beauty, the richness of life, the confidence that's unconditional, that's unshakable, because you know who you are, you own who you are, and you're not needing anything from anybody. I'm telling you, that is true, true power. That is power. That is being your own superhero. And you don't need anybody else in order to do that for you. So realize that along with the healing process comes a lot of things that can feel painful. But just know and trust and listen to my voice. Turn this podcast on. Listen to me and say that it, promise you, it gets better. It's worth it. Whatever pain you have to endure, whatever people walk out of your life, whatever people try and tell you that you're not all that, that this isn't you, you could never be that. Don't listen to those voices. Tune them out. Even yourself, when you're telling yourself those things, be like, okay, just because I'm telling myself doesn't mean it's true. Just because I believe that doesn't mean it's true. Just because I feel that doesn't mean it's true. You are so powerful. You are so much more powerful than you realize. You are so much more beautiful than you think. And if anybody is trying to dismiss that or is trying to minimize that in you, that is not someone that deserves a place at the table of your life.
Thank you so much, Mindy. This is wonderful insights that you shared with the listeners today, and I'm sure they will appreciate it as well when they listen to the episode. I think it's a full all-inclusive package.
There was a lot in there.
Yeah, but again, I think it's wonderful to make it this way rather than sharing, you know, a 5-minute story and saying goodbye, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, thank you for allowing me the time to share what was on my heart. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time and your energy and all of your advice provided today in this episode. And I hope that the listeners will be enjoying listening, but also learning a lot from your perspectives and from your insights. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay healthy and happy.